Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of the Midcasters. I'm Jalen, and this is
favorite comic book and movie reviewer, Craig.
Awesome. And today we got some exciting news. We're going to start off strong that Sigourney Weaver, who we all know and love from Alien, is rumored to star in the Mandalorian movie. Craig, what are your thoughts on that? And who do you think she's going to play?
As far as who she plays, I'm not too sure. I'm still watching. I just got into the newer Star Wars stuff. Like, I just finished Rogue One a few days ago, and The Force Awakens. I believe that was the first one. Those two were really great, and the other ones, I'm trying to blaze through those because I heard they weren't that well received. I'm just trying to hurry up and get the Mandalorian.
That is valid. I mean, I know we're getting another season of the Mandalorian, but then this concludes and this kind of would be like a fifth season of it, directed by Jon Favreau, which I'm excited for because it's been so long since he's directed a movie. I'm excited. I don't know. I feel like she's going to be playing a villain in this. Regardless, I think she's going to be awesome.
Has she been in every single Aliens film, or is it just the first two?
She was in the first four. She wasn't in the ones with Michael Fassbender, though. And I don't believe she's in the one with Kaylee Spaney coming up.
The new one coming up actually looks amazing. And I'm definitely gonna have to watch that. People have told me just watch the first two and ignore the other ones.
I would say that I do like Prometheus and then Alien Covenant, but those are the Michael Fassbender ones, and I think those are a little bit stronger in my opinion. But I'm excited to see her kind of break away from that and move to a different franchise, and hopefully the fans welcome her with open arms. But we know they probably won't.
I think she'll be completely fine.
Oh, I'm excited for that. And speaking of excited, let's move on to our next point. Superman, we have our first looks at his suit. And, you know, I've never actually seen him put on the suit. It's just always been on. But what is your thoughts about his suit?
At first, I loved it. And then I didn't realize this until my brother pointed it out. I'm not a fan of the lines on the suit. I'm not that big into the New 52 comics. And they did some terrible things to a lot of some of the iconic DC characters, like changing their backstories and their powers and stuff like that. But I think it looks okay, but I'm not a fan of the lines on the sleeve, and I'm not a fan of the turtleneck even.
It was kind of looking like jeans, and I have a feeling that maybe it's like a suit he makes himself, like how we see Spider-Man make his suit, and then by the end, I assume we'll probably see like a different, more refined suit.
James Gunn actually confirmed that his mom made his suit.
So the mom made the character suit.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So maybe the we'll see a more refined version. I definitely see the Marvel touch on it already, so I am excited. Because we all know Zack Snyder has a thing for making things literally too dark to see. And I like that bright, vibrant look, and I think that's kind of exciting.
I mean, there are stuff that I don't think the suit's terrible looking. I do like the classic better, but you can tell just by looking at the suit that James Gunn was inspired by multiple different things. The symbol is from Kingdom Come. The lines on the suit is from New 52, and he used the original. And of course, the tights is, you know, classic look.
Yeah, definitely excited to see what happens with that. but I mean, comes out next year, so we'll see what happens with that. And speaking of first looks, we also have our first looks at Sebastian Stan on set as James Bucky Barnes. That first pic was deleted by Atlanta Filming, who's known for taking pictures of sets. And they said that the real photos were out, but we never saw them, and I didn't see them until literally 20 minutes ago. And I'm not vibing with the look of Sebastian Stan in this. I just can't get into the goatee Bucky Barnes. It just doesn't seem on character for him. But what do you think?
At first, I was like, is this picture real? Like, I didn't know if it was real or not. I was like, wait a minute, it could be a stunt double. Then I was like, wait a minute, is it a clone? Like, what is freaking going on? Like, I don't know. I'm gonna have to see more, but I like his classic look from the
Winter Soldier.
from what? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like they've kind of not nerfed him. It's probably not the right word, but it just feels like it's not Bucky anymore. And I feel like this could be essentially Sebastian Stan's swan song because I did see rumors that he's potentially gonna have a small role in this, and this is probably gonna be the end of him. And I mean, Sentry's in it, Lewis Coleman, who I'm excited to see take on the role, but I do see maybe one or three of the Thunderbolts actually not come out of this alive. But I also keep thinking about the asterisks at the end of the title that maybe this kind of leads into the Dark Avengers. But what are your thoughts on all that?
I do think that I have a feeling that Florence, I have a feeling that she's going to stay around. As far as the other ones, I'm not too sure. I know Sebastian, he's got a lot on his plate as it is, and everyone else is kind of already find other projects after Endgame, and they're flourishing right now, and including himself. I mean, I think his best stuff has been outside the MCU.
I agree with you. And I do think this is probably going to be the swan song of maybe Bucky, obviously the Red Guardian. I feel like Antonia could stick around for a while, but you got Ghost. We might see Zemo. I mean, it's not been confirmed if he's going to be in it or not. I would assume he is because he's a big part of the team in the comic books. But I'm excited to see Lewis Pullman. I haven't seen a lot of people talk about him in this S Century. And the last time we see him in Lessons in Chemistry with Brie Larson and as Bob in Top Gun Maverick. But I'm excited to see set pics of him and who makes it out alive, who doesn't, and what that asterisk is going to mean by the time that film comes out. But I think Sebastian Stan is ready to move on from Marvel.
That's true. I think a lot of people are.
Oh yeah, I don't blame them. I feel like Marvel, I mean, right now they're kind of sending subpoenas to the Toast Twitter account. Can we get some toast for spoiling some posters from Captain America 4? And I mean, hopefully it's the end of a lot of things, but the fans aren't always kind and they're not always true to the comics, and it sucks because there's a lot of potential there and you feel like they've kind of let you down.
Yeah, I can see it from both sides.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that Sentry is like how he is in the comics and like this big menacing character. And hopefully he has a redemption outside of that. And I still have a hope for a redemption for John Walker.
Oh, I totally forgot about him.
I know. I keep thinking that he's gonna say something and Yelena's gonna be like that little sister and just put a beat down onto this man.
I cannot absolutely stand him in freaking Falcon and Winter Soldier.
And that's what he wants. That's Wyatt Russell is really good at making the fans hate the character, which is like we all hate John Walker, and obviously Bucky hates John Walker. And I just see Yelena hating John Walker.
I
But
think,
I'm just kind of hoping for redemption arcs for him.
yeah, I mean, oh God, I felt like the finale to Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it was so disappointing. I mean, with the whole Sharon like secretly being evil reveal, like it didn't make sense. And I get that they're trying to have more female antagonists, but it didn't hit.
Yeah, you're just like, so she did all this. She stole Captain America's shield and Sam's wings, and now she's bad. Is she working for Valentina? Is she working for the Red Hulk? Who is she working for? And I feel like there was a lot of opportunity with Emily Van Camp because she came off that high of revenge, the show. And I just felt like it was kind of a letdown because like they could have had that storyline with her and Cap, and they just kind of botched it altogether. They botched literally every love story with the exception of Wanda and Vision.
Yeah, they could
But
have done something really great with Natasha and Bucky.
Yeah. Yeah, if they try to do that with Yelena, I don't know how I feel about that. I just want them to have a really grounded film that kind of builds onto a family relationship that allows them to have that closeness. And that way, when one of them goes, it hurts a little bit harder. But I do feel like this movie might waste some characters because I really feel like Ghost, she's a fantastic character. She could do so many other things, but I mean, kind of the same with a bunch of the other characters that they have. And I'm like, they could have had Zemo in this. But I mean, I guess I'm kind of excited to see that we have Sentry. I'm not going to lie. I was not a fan of Steven Yeun. I didn't know how he was going to fit into the mold. But we shall see what happens. And I hope it's epic and amazing and just really gripping and just gets the fans in awe because we all love Florence Pugh and Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna Deadpool 3, I'll pass on that. I'm just not for it. I'm still burnt out from the constant projects that they kept pumping out after Endgame. And I think after No Way Home and after Guardians 3, those I think those three were the best films since probably since Endgame. Even though I don't love Endgame, I actually prefer Infinity War,
I
but
think we
I
all
think, yeah, I think those two were the last films that got people up in arms, like really excited to see it.
do.
But with the lack of a lot of people don't want to watch the Disney Plus shows. So when they go in to certain films, they feel like they don't need to watch the shows,
I mean,
which
honestly, I don't feel like they should watch the shows. I'm like, Secret Invasion, literally, I could go into the next movie and be completely okay. Like, I wouldn't need to have seen that after Cap, or I wouldn't need to watch Secret Invasion before going into the Marvels. Like, I feel like I could have watched the Marvels without all that.
yeah, I think that's where their problem lies, is that sometimes the people that are writing the films didn't watch the TV show and they do their own story and don't know how to correlate some of the stuff from the TV show towards the film.
And I feel like that chases a lot of talent away. I mean, I know Elizabeth Olsen talked about that she just stopped reading the script for Multiverse of Madness because they changed it literally every single day. And I mean, you have these top A-listers in your films, in your shows, and you can't figure out your stuff pre-production, and you're just, I know we've said this before, but like scrambling is just not the way to do things. I mean, even with the reshoots that they're going to be doing for Deadpool 3, that's not the way that we need to be doing that. If you were going to change things to make it better for the visual effects workers, the CGI workers, we need to get that stuff buttoned up, as a lot of people would say. I mean, I don't like the Marvels. I really enjoyed the Marvels, and I saw an article about it because I thought it was a really well done film. Just in my personal opinion, just amazing chemistry. You don't really find chemistry with trios like that a lot. And they just said, oh, it was like a big flop. Well, yeah, because you released it during a strike. So there was literally no marketing. So the only one to blame is you.
Right. And plus they tried to push all the they tried to push the failure of the film on Nia DaCosta, which is bullshit because even she said that the film that the audience saw isn't her film.
I mean, I still enjoyed it, and I do think maybe Tiana, Amon, and Brie, especially Brie, would agree. And you can just see how Brie's so exhausted. Like, does anybody want me to do it again? And it's just like, that's not the way. I do too. And it's just like the treatment of her is just beyond disrespectful. And the fact that Marvel never comes out to put these to bed is just insane. The only people that's ever come out in defense of their co-stars is the cast of Obi-Wan Kenobi when there was all that racism. Like, that's how it should be.
Yeah, I don't think no one defended John Boyega when he was talking about his treatment with Disney and Star Wars.
That one I did not know about. I was just referring to Obi-Wan and Reap. My favorite villain. I felt like she was an amazing villain. I want to see more of her. But it's just like, set that boundary. Like Kevin Feige, I get he's busy, but like, we need to set these boundaries. We need to be talking about it. We need to be vocal and transparent. But he doesn't want to do that. He just wants to feed into the fans and quietly give subpoenas to like bottom of the barrel scoopers. Oh, sorry, scoopers, quotation marks. Oh my gosh. But there's some actors that are kind of not in Marvel right now, and I feel like that's a good thing. And speaking of one in mind, Lizzie Olsen, who just booked a lead series playing a twin for Apple TV. She's gonna get that Emmy. She has so many things lined up. Next movie that we have coming out is His Three Daughters, and I saw a short list from Variety that she could be nominated for an Oscar for that performance. And that comes out in November. It's on Netflix. She also has a movie that she completed with Elisa Vandeker. Never pronounce her name right. The one who's married to Michael Fassbender. And then she has tons of other things coming out. And I think she's taking a note from like Scarlett and Mark Ruffalo, like making a imprint outside of the MCU. So that way that's not all you're known for.
Yeah, because even Mark Ruffalo questioned his ability to do anything outside the MCU until he ran into the Poor Things project. And even then, he said he was nervous about it because he hadn't done a big character like that in a while. So he was nervous that anyone would actually care or actually be investing in one of his films that one of his projects that didn't involve him playing the Hulk.
And it's sad because he's a good actor. I mean, he's coming off the back of a Netflix show that he did, which I think is really good. It follows a story of like this deaf girl in Nazi Germany. It's fantastic. For I don't feel like a lot of people have talked about that one. He's coming off the backs of a lot of good things, and he has a lot of good things in the pipeline. And I mean, he's been nominated for Oscars so many times, as well as so many of the other actors in the MCU and the OG6, with the exception of Chris Evans, who I don't think will ever be nominated, but maybe one day. But I like when they kind of put their presence outside the MCU known and just really stand on their own and just be like, hey, I don't need Marvel to be good. And I mean, Lizzie Olsen is proof of that. Like, yeah, she's related to the Olsen twins and everything, but like, she's always been good.
I think she's outclips them.
Oh yeah. I think she's going to do good things. And I know she's been snubbed for the Emmy, 2-3 times. But she's going to get that. I feel like she's putting herself out there. She's taking risks. And there are smaller projects, which I appreciate. But I can't wait to see what she does next. And hopefully the next time we see her as Wanda, or see more respect paid to the character. And I feel like Jack Schaefer from WandaVision, or maybe Greta Gerwig, could really pay respects to that character.
I thought it was really hilarious when she presented I can't remember what award she presented with Pedro Pascal last year at some award show, but the interviewer asked her, how does she feel about people calling her mommy and people call Pedro daddy? And she just laughed it off, and she was just like, I find it very odd. I don't know whether they take it as a compliment, or like, are they calling me that because I'm old or because they think I'm attractive?
She said it. They had asked her that question during the premiere of Multiverse of Madness, I think in London. And she goes, I like being called someone's mom. I think it's kind of growing on her. And I don't think she realizes how much fans love her, because she's so chronically offline now. I mean, they did bully her offline after Chadwick Boseman passed away. So maybe one day she'll come back, but I just like that she's not on social media. She doesn't know anything. She just sits in her garden and keeps to herself.
Which is the way it should be, because people on social media, it's a blessing and a curse.
It is. It's a good outlet to get your thoughts, your opinions out. And one thing Lizzie Olsen said, that keep quiet about the things you hate and talk about the things you love. And I feel like we could all take a page out of that, especially people on TikTok who are just so incredibly mean.
Right. That's why we have Dan in our life. Dan, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. And Bilal. I love Dan. Dan's always standing up for us. Hi, Dan. And he always calls it like it is, especially if it's bigger creators, because we need to hold each other accountable, especially those who make horrendous comments about Killers of the Flower Moon.
I was like, I know he ain't talking about wifey like that.
And makes comments about scabbing. But that's neither here nor there. Because not here to tear other creators down, only here to build each other up. But speaking of tearing down things, the streaming bundle of Hulu, Disney, and HBO Max, aka cable, streaming, and ads. Who knows how much that bundle is going to cost? I don't know when it's officially going to be offered. I feel like the only streaming bundle that I have would be Hulu and Spotify, and that was only because I wanted Spotify. But what do you think about this streaming bundle, aka cable?
It's annoying as shit. I mean, why do they keep doing this to me?
I can't keep paying for different services.
Right. Like, I mean, let's see. So far, I think I'm paying three.
Let me see. I'm paying ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Crunchyroll.
Oh my
But
gosh.
yeah.
Yeah, I have
And
Netflix, HBO, Hulu, but that's for Spotify, Apple TV. Netflix is
oof.
getting to be too much anymore. We need like a food court for these things to like pick and choose what we want, like Sling TV, kind of. Sling TV sponsor us.
Yeah, like the only bad thing about Disney Plus is like, I mean, the oh wait, and I have Paramount Plus, but I
Never
hardly
have.
use that. Yeah, I'm hardly on that. The only thing I actually watch on there is like Jimmy Neutron or like old episodes of SpongeBob and stuff.
I think I watch Scream on there, but it's not mine. Like, I don't pay for it or anything.
I mean, most of the stuff that's on streaming, I look to get on physical anyway, just in case something happens.
Oh yeah, 100%. And it's always the stuff that you want to watch that's not there, and then you have to rent it. Like, I was really wanting to watch this documentary, nowhere to be found unless I paid for BBC Select. I mean, I'm paying for it now because there's a lot of good documentaries on there that I'm watching. But it's just like, at some point, enough is enough. When are we going to say no and stop paying? Because literally, I could cancel one of these subscriptions and pay for multiple gym memberships or something. Like, I'm just giving an example. Like, the only one I feel like is actually worth it, probably HBO, because it also has Discovery, because I watch documentaries on there as well.
Yeah. I mainly like watch if I watch documentaries, I mainly love watching stuff about like animals. Like I think the latest one I saw, this was a while ago, it was like a countdown of like the most deadly snakes on the planet.
Ooh, I think that used to be on Spike TV, now Paramount.
And what is it? Oh, Disney Plus. Something else I don't like about Disney Plus is that sometimes they'll edit stuff out. Like there are certain episodes. I remember I was watching Wizards of Waverly Place one time, and they edit out a certain dialogue and a certain scene from the episode, and I was like, wait a minute, why did they? I know exactly what this character said during this scene and what he did, and they chopped that scene out.
And that's why you own physical media, folks. That's why I bought WandaVision and Loki on physical media, because I'm like, I don't want them to take away my Wanda. Plus, I need the cool steel book.
I still need those steel books.
I only own those two, and then I own Asteroid City. I still wanted to buy the ones that were just released for Andor season one and Obi-Wan. But I'm waiting for Hawkeye to come out so I can buy that one. I own no DVD player. It's called a collecting thing, and I'll open it if I want to watch.
You should probably get a what's the a 4K Blu-ray DVD player.
I need to buy one. But I mean, I have my Fire TV, and I had read like an article like way back that I think it was like Sony, that you would buy, like, people were buying these movies and they said, oh, we're gonna take it away, and people lost all the movies that they bought. And I'm like, okay, I bought in films on the streaming services like Apple, or I'm sorry, Prime Video, but I'm like, I never thought about like, oh, they could actually take it away from me, even though I bought it. It's technically still theirs, and they can take it off that platform whenever they want.
Exactly. And that's exactly why I went back to buying physical video games, because they announced that last year that they can Even if you buy a video game on the PlayStation or Xbox store, they can still take it down, which is why I went back to GameStop and started buying my games again.
That just seems wildly like illegal or something. It probably isn't, but it just feels like it is.
And all of the worst part is all your hard work is been taken away.
And one thing I hated about streaming is that, like, let's say it's available for renting or buying, but they only have the option to buy, but there's no way to like go watch it or anything like that because it's not on DVD. It's not like on a platform. And so you're forced to buy the movie. Like, I had to buy Beau Is Afraid just to watch it one time. Will I ever watch it again? Absolutely not, because that's an insane film. But like the accessibility, even like on the online stores, is insane. Like, why would I pay $25 to rent it when I could pay a dollar more to buy it?
Right.
Just like a huge scam. And with them taking physical media out of all these stores, and I think Target by next year, it's just like becoming a dying hobby anymore.
Yeah, and it's funny because I guess they didn't think that a lot of people would be upset about that, and they were completely wrong because a lot of people were not happy when they found out that they were taking physical media off the shelves. And even books, oh, Barnes and Noble, they were really petty. They tweeted out, "We'll still have physical media."
Good. I mean, I like Barnes and Noble because they're more about the physicality of items, and people like books in their hands. They like vinyls in their hands. And it's just like, okay, well, I could get a song, but who's to say it's going to be on Spotify? Who's to say Taylor Swift's not going to take it off? I'm not saying she is, but like there was like times where it's like she didn't even have certain songs on Apple on Spotify, and then vice versa. And it's just like, I don't even own a DVD player anymore or a CD player anymore. So I'm like, do I buy
Yeah.
it just in case?
I do have a vinyl record player. I only used it a few times. I think the last thing I listened to was, I think it was a Paramore album.
I want to buy one, but I'm like, I have no room to buy one anymore. It's like, but also the new album for Taylor, with the extra tracks isn't out on vinyl yet. But I mean, maybe one day I'll kick it into gear and I'll buy one. Who knows? But I feel like physical is coming back. And there was one thing that I loved in that movie with Julia Roberts on Netflix. I cannot remember the name of it now, with Ethan Hawke. It's like the apocalypse movie.
I know what you're talking about. I saw it. I was very disappointed, but yeah,
But the
I know
physical
it
media
wasn't.
nod at the end was amazing. Did you see like the whole thing of physical media? And she just wanted to watch that last episode of Friends. Do they end up together? Do they not end up together? And she found a DVD and she watched it. And I'm like, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, I love that movie. I love the score and the cinematography and the cast. But what the fuck is that movie supposed to be about? I was
I
so
had a fun
angry at
time
the
with it.
I was so upset because I'm like, y'all have like three ideas in your head and you don't even know what the film is supposed to be about. It's like
I think I
the
got it. I understood what like oh, we're under attack by outside forces, and this is what would happen if we were like hijacked essentially by other countries. I'm gonna need a second one. I need some clarification on some things.
I would go back and rewatch it, but I can't put myself through that misery.
It was interesting to see Julia Roberts in that type of role. I mean, she's not really in a lot of stuff like that, so I'm glad that fans got to finally see more of her because I first followed her after Pretty Woman. When I watched it as a kid, oh my gosh, it's not a kid movie, guys, I'm sorry. But yeah, I do love her. And moving on from streaming and physical media supremacy, summer is kicking off, and it kicked off with The Fall Guy, who has not made back what it spent on the film. But we have some upcoming films such as Mad Max Furiosa. We have Planet of the Apes sequel. We have another rom-com coming out with Fly Me to the Moon. And so many other films like Transformers coming out. What's a summer blockbuster coming up, big or small, that you're looking forward to next?
Definitely Twisters. At first I was like, this is dumb, but the more I watch the trailer, the more I get hyped for it.
Okay. I mean, it's definitely peak summer. It's reminding me of 1996 with the original that came out, and I like how it's like not completely related at all.
Right. Also, A Quiet Place Day One. Fly Me to the Moon. That one actually looks pretty interesting.
I think that's going to be a better rom-com than The Fall Guy. I've said what I've said. I saw who wrote it. I've seen articles that once we see those two on screen, we're going to want more of them. And there's a lot of improv in it, which I love. And I'm excited for Apple and Sony to team up and what they show to us next.
Oh, and the film with the romantic drama or whatever with Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh.
Yes, I think that comes out in November, but I am excited for that. And speaking of excitement, we also have a new casting update for Jurassic World. He starred in The Lincoln Lawyer, Manuel Garcia Rufio. So he's going to be starring in that next to Scarlett Johansson and Jonathan Bailey, which I'm excited for. That should start filming like pretty soon, actually.
Wait, what'd you say his name was?
Manuel Garcia Rufio. I'm probably butchering that so hard.
Does he play the lawyer in Lincoln Lawyer?
Ty Lincoln Lawyer. I don't know if he plays like the main person, but he's definitely one of like the more hyped people that I've seen.
What do you know what his character's name is in Lincoln Lawyer?
Let me see what we got going on here. Mickey Holler.
Oh, yeah. That's the main lead. My co-worker got me into that show, and I freaking loved it. It was amazing.
I got to get into it because I'm a big Neve Campbell fan. I'm a big fan of a lot of things. Some other news that we have, too, is that Sydney Sweeney will be doing a boxing biopic, which I'm excited for. And I guess Christy Martin will be training her for it, essentially. So it's kind of be a biopic about that. And I'm excited to see her kind of break away. And I like how she's not wanting to be pigeonholed into a typecast role.
As long as we don't see no more nudity.
Yeah. No, Poor Things was my limit for nudity, guys. I could not anymore.
Right. And I'm not seeing what everyone else is seeing with Sydney Sweeney. I think she's all right. But, I mean, there are a bunch of actresses that can smoke her, in my opinion.
Watch reality on HBO. On Max.
Yeah.
That kind of like changed my perception of her.
I saw that. I thought I gave it I think I gave it 3.5 stars or 3 stars.
I
I
like that
think
it's all in one confined area, though.
I do think that's her best performance so far.
Oh yeah, she's definitely really good in that. And I think she doesn't want to be pigeonholed into a certain role, and so she's taking those risks and she's producing more, and it's exciting to see her do that at such a young age. Such a young age, and we're the
Right.
age. Another thing that I saw this week that kind of got my interest was that Glenn Powell is eyed to star in J.J. Abrams' next movie. And he's also kind of becoming the next leading man in Hollywood. What do you think about that?
Well, he definitely has the looks for it.
Oh, he def does. I need more of him. I like that he's taking risks and that he's not just going to be confined to the rom-com genre.
Yeah, because even I heard that rom-com he did with Sydney Sweeney. Yeah, I heard that one wasn't it. I heard he pretty much carried the film.
I enjoyed it. There was one rom-com that I think he is perfect in, and it's Set It Up on Netflix.
I love that movie.
That's literally maybe the best movie that Netflix has ever made.
Oh, shit.
I've said what I've said. I will take no comments or questions at this time. You can email Craig your complaints.
They're gonna stay right in that spam box.
Oh, in the spam box. Oh gosh. Okay.
It's gonna get sent right there.
Oh gosh.
Unless
And we
you
unless you're a mutual. Yeah. No, we send it to the spam email. We'll get to that when we get to that. Another announcement that we have this week that I'm kind of excited for is that we're gonna see Sebastian Stan and Lily James re-team up for a film called Let the Evil Go West. It's going to be a psychological horror thriller. And I saw comparisons of them being like the next Hollywood, not couple team up, but you know what I mean. Like, you're just like, we need them in more films together.
Yeah, like that. You mean like a Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, like a Leo and Kate Winslet, Michael B.
Exactly. Or like
Jordan,
a Chris
Temple
Evans, Scarlett
Compton.
Johansson. I'm excited
Right.
to see what they do with that. I mean, they have fantastic chemistry. I may not have liked Pam and Tommy or even finished it, but I definitely like these two actors.
I have not seen that film. I mean, not film, but TV series.
I think I watched 5 minutes of it, and that was kind of it for me. Because I mean, I'm not really keen to those two, like, right, like the two Pam and Tommy, the people. But definitely showing his acting chops, and he's taking the risks, and I'm excited to see him take on a horror movie. Not like fresh, but like an actual horror movie,
I
and
still
to
have to
break away from
stick.
those bad movies.
I still have to stick Brandon's video where he asks, "What's a scene from a movie that grotesques you?" And my answer is always the same. It's the scene in Fresh where she asks, "What does human bodies taste? What does human taste like?" And he makes her eat the meatballs, and oh my God.
Mine would probably be Bones and All, literally that entire movie.
I think for that reason I might skip out on watching that film because I know the film's about
Cannibalism.
yeah, cannibalism,
They do
and
not ease you into
it just I don't know if I can stomach that.
Yeah, they do not ease you into it. It's not like a Silence of the Lambs. It's just poof, 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 poof. And that's the same dude who directed The Challengers. But it's intense. It's insane. But yeah. that's kind of what we got for this week. Is there any news or anything you're excited for coming up in this week other than Mother's Day?
Well, right now I'm binging the original X-Men 90 series because I'm trying to get to the current X-Men because everyone's talking about that. Everyone's loving it. So right now I'm on a journey for the classic X-Men 90 series.
Okay, that sounds fun. I think for me, I'm trying to catch up. I need to watch The Idea of You because who doesn't love Anne Hathaway? So that's kind of what I got on my docket for the week and hopefully some screeners. And what else do I got going on? I officially have my voucher for San Diego Comic-Con, so I will be there all 4 days. I'm excited for that.
That sounds fun.
I know. Expensive, but fun, guys. So if y'all want to Zell me, support me. No, I'm kidding, guys. but yeah, that is episode 4. Great, though. Huh?
That would be great, though.
That is true.
That way you don't have to worry about recouping all that cash.
Yeah, guys, just go into my profile on TikTok. You can donate me money, and I'll just use it towards that. Because I'm just a girl.
There you go.
But yeah, this is episode 4 of the Midcasters. We are the most mid-podcasters you'll ever see, ever hear. No, let me redo that. That is episode 4 this week, guys. We are the Midcasters. This is the most mid-podcast you're ever going to listen to because full of mid-content. But you can find me on my socials at Jalen Sanderson for Twitter, Sandra Loves Movies on Letterboxd, and Lost in Life Translation on the Tick of the Talk. Craig, where can they find you?
TikTok, Instagram, same handle at CraigJr97.
Awesome. Well, that's episode 4, guys. Come back next week for episode 5, and happy Mother's Day to those who celebrate. Bye-bye.
Enjoy the rest of your week.